Praise God, church. And I thank God because of the blood of Jesus, I'm going to be in that number. You too? When the saints go marching in. Let us once again go to the throne of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for your wonderful promises, the promise of eternal life. We thank you too, Lord, that until we pass through those pearly gates, before we walk on those streets of gold, you promise to be with us in this life's journey. And no matter what trial or tribulation we may face, you will be with us and bless us to overcome. And we thank you for your presence, your promises, your love. As we go into your holy word this evening, bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My lead-off scripture will be from the Old Testament. And it's a verse that most people, most of the saints, are familiar with. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, the 5th, 6th, and 7th verses. For those who have their Bibles, I'll give you a chance to turn to Proverbs. It's the book after Psalms. And we can read those three verses together. Proverbs 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. And if you don't have it memorized, it's definitely one of those that you should hide in your heart. Have you found it? All right. Together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. Amen. And my thought for this evening is, don't go by your feelings. Go by the word of God. Don't go by your feelings, but go by the word of God. As most of you already know, my husband and I, along with Brother Joey, and sometimes Marla now, we preach on 42nd Street. And we meet all types of people. So one afternoon, a young woman came up, a teenager, and she was wearing a bracelet, rainbow colors. So first she started yelling, screaming at us, but I thank God she calmed down and we were able to have a conversation. So in the course of this conversation, this 16-year-old told me that she was a lesbian. And I asked her why. Her answer, she had feelings for women. So I told her, don't go by your feelings, go by the word of God. So then I asked her, has she ever experienced these particular feelings? And maybe you have. I'll admit I have. When you go into a store like Duane Reade or Walgreens, and a feeling comes upon you to pick an item and put it in your pocket and walk out without paying for it. Have you ever had that feeling? I asked her. And she said she had. She said, yes, she had the feeling to steal, but she didn't give in to those feelings. And I asked her, why not? And she said, because it was wrong. So I explained to her, just as she did not give in to those feelings to steal, she shouldn't give in to those immoral, perverted feelings for women. But then she said, why not? And I said, because the Bible tells us so. And she told me she didn't believe in the Bible. Saints, have you noticed that the people who don't want to do right don't believe the Bible? On the other hand, the people who do want to do right believe the Bible. And Jesus Christ said it this way in John, the 3rd chapter, the 20th verse. The Lord said it this way. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And remember, King David described God's word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So the Lord said, everyone that doeth evil hate the light. But on the other hand, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So it's not surprising that in this sinful society, the Bible is considered out of touch, antiquated, irrelevant, because the Bible says, mortify the flesh. Society says, gratify the flesh. The Bible says, crucify the flesh. Society tells us, cater to the flesh. The hymn writer wrote, and they don't like to sing these old hymns anymore, but I thank God for grace and hope. We still sing the good old hymns. The hymn writer wrote, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. But in today's world, they change the words around. They say, give in to temptation, for giving in is fun. And after all, a girl just want to have fun. And that's why the Bible is despised and rejected. Because the carnal crowd doesn't want to be told what to do. And the Bible does tell us what to do. The Bible does tell us how to live. And the carnal crowd is quick to say, mind your business. They don't want to sing with the saints, take time to be holy. They'd rather sing with the Isley Brothers, it's my thing. And you do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to. The carnal crowd, it's not thinking about pleasing God, but the carnal crowd is preoccupied with pleasing the flesh. But they're getting in a lot of trouble. They're saying, if it feels good, do it. The Bible tells us everything that feels good is not good for us. In Proverbs, it is written, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death, the herpes, the HPV, the hepatitis, the chlamydia, the syphilis, the gonorrhea, the AIDS." All of it attests to the fact that everything that feels good is not good for you. That's why you're better off that you don't go by your feelings. You're better off that you go by the Word of God. But in spite of all these STDs and venereal diseases, someone told me for every letter in the alphabet, there's an STD. But in spite of all these diseases, this wicked and adulterous generation has a relentless determination to live by their feelings. But what can they do about these diseases? They turn to medical science. Science will come to our rescue. We don't have to do it the Bible's way because we got science. And science will help us to get around the natural penalties for sin. A few weeks ago, there was an article in the paper, a columnist, and she was writing about what's going on today, these diseases, this one called HPV. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the whole word, but it is an STD. And she wrote that half of all sexually active women, that phrase sexually active, those are the phrases they like to use. They don't like to use the word promiscuous because that has a moral sound. So sexually active sounds more neutral. But she wrote, half of all sexually active women between the ages of 18 and 22 in the United States have this disease. And HPV causes almost all cervical cancers. So you would think she would be warning young women to be celibate, to be chaste, to live a clean life. But no, no, no. She says, before you go swearing off sex for your life, you don't have to give it up. You don't have to live like a holy woman before you go off swearing off sex for life. However, here's the good news. They have found a vaccine. Clinical trials confirm that there is a surefire vaccine that protects women from contracting HPV. You see what's going on? They don't want people to live holy. They tell people, don't worry about getting a disease because we got that covered. But the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Millions of dollars spent on AIDS research. The goal? That men can be with men without receiving the recompense of their era. And this sex-crazed crowd has to have abortion. And they are resolved to keep abortion legal so that they can be promiscuous, so that they can sleep around and shirk their responsibility for caring for the child. They want to live by their feelings, not by God's word. No restraints, no stop signs, no red lights. The coast is clear. Full speed ahead as this lust-driven crowd madly pursues their illicit endeavors. And this anything-goes attitude, this go-by-your-feelings madness, is disrupting the social order. Divorce. Perhaps you've been divorced. Perhaps your parents are divorced. Single moms, single dads. Why? One or the other wanted to go by his feelings. Didn't want to go by the word of God. The word of God says thou shalt not commit adultery. The word of God says that husbands are to love their wives and wives their husbands. But it's your thing. You do what you want to do. People don't want to go by God's word. They want to go by their feeling. And as a result, divorce, juvenile delinquency, broken homes, broken hearts. This playboy philosophy, this do your thing mentality, is a corrupt tree that's bringing forth evil fruit. Rape, incest, child molestation. The Bible declares that they who sin to the flesh shall reap corruption. And we see how there's more and more crimes of passion. Just this past week, I read about a man who, when he heard that his wife was about to leave him, in a jealous rage, he killed her and then killed himself. And most New Yorkers remember Happy Land. Over 98 people were killed in a fire. Why? A spurred boyfriend. His girlfriend left him in a jealous rage. He set this club on fire. And this was the paper yesterday. Crimes of passion. A 79-year-old woman was convicted of murder yesterday for shooting her 85-year-old boyfriend after their romance went sour. Prosecutors said the woman was angry because her boyfriend had broken up with her and was seeing another woman. You would think that old age would bring wisdom. But the Bible says it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. And then the Bible tells us because of dark passions, many strong men have been slain. The biblical example, King David, how havoc and heartache followed him all the days of his life because of his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and then having her husband murdered. And more recently, we remember Jimmy Swaggart. He was the prince of the Pentecostal movement. He had a great ministry, and it was ruined because of his going out of control with pornography and prostitutes. So without any guidelines to govern feelings, we see an increase in gross confusion in sexual identity. When people are just going by their feelings, a man doesn't know if he wants to be a woman. A woman doesn't know if she will be a man. But it's because they're going by feelings instead of going by the word of God. Oh, wretched man, who shall deliver us from these abominations. Well, we thank God for the Bible. The written word is our moral guide. The Bible, and only the Bible, is the moral guide. Now, some may argue that the Quran is also a moral guide, but any book that will say a man can have up to four wives, that is not a moral book. And even after having four legal wives, he can still have concubines on the side. Sisters, do you think that's a moral book? Can the women say amen? The Bible is the only moral guide. N-O, no Bible, no moral code. K-N-O-W, no Bible, no moral code. So if we want to know morals, we got to go by the Bible. The Bible gives us rules. If there were no rules, no one could play any games. They couldn't play baseball, soccer, if there were no rules. So just as we need rules to play games, we need rules to govern our feelings. And these rules, this structure, these guidelines are found in God's Word, the Bible. Amen. So I'm asking today, is there anyone here who knows they're not living right? Who knows that their feelings have the best of them? They want to do right. They want to do it the Bible way, God's way, but they find themselves doing it the way of the world and wickedness. The apostle wrote, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." The apostle understood that conflict. God understands this conflict that's going on. But there is help for you, for us all, in Christ Jesus. It is difficult in these last and evil days, on your own, impossible to overcome these dark desires, because the culture itself lifts up immorality. The billboards, the illicit activities that celebrate it, the skimpy dressed women, the music that provokes sensuality, the television programs. And I could tell you, and I will tell you, we've done it ourselves, to turn off the TV and to guard your eyes, and you can't listen to any type of music. But it still takes more than those mechanics to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because we're dealing with spiritual forces. And the apostle wrote, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's why many find it so hard to do what's right. Because you're wrestling with the devil himself. And the only one who has power to overcome the devil is Jesus Christ. You can win the fight with Jesus fighting the battle for you. And those who embrace Jesus, there's the promise The Lord promised, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So you no longer have to be a slave to these evil, dark, immoral, perverted, freaky feelings. You can do it God's way. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing good without Jesus. But I can do all things with Christ strengthening me. So right now, the Lord God is stretching out his hand right now to you. You who know you're living by your feelings and you're on the broad way to destruction and you're taking a lot of risk. It's dangerous living by your feelings. In every way, it's dangerous. But the Lord God is willing to lift you up. But you got to grab hold to his hand. He's not going to take your hand. But if you just grab hold to his hand, he will lift you up out of the muck and mire of these evil feelings. Is there someone this evening who knows he needs help from above? Come up to the altar. You don't have to be ashamed. We were all once there. And we're here to let you know in song, in poetry, in sermon, the God of the universe loves you. He sees that man desperately needs help. He sent his son to come to our rescue. I said, Lord, save me. Joey Lana said, Lord,
save me.
Solomon said,
Lord, save me. Praise God.
Marla said, Lord, save me. Victor, didn't you say, Lord, save me? Will you say that today? Vera, didn't you say, Lord, save me?
Yes, I said, come into my heart. Yes.
Amen. When you receive Jesus, when you invite Jesus, it is your way of taking hold of God's hand. And the hymn writer wrote, and he walks with me and talks with me. That's what he will do for you. And he will lift you up out of the muck and mire of sin. He will make you new. Will you do that today? It is important because the wages of sin is death. Because the second death is being cast into the lake of fire. Because the abominable and whoremongers and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. That does not have to be your fate. Jesus loves you. Reach out. Take hold of his hand. Let him save your soul.
Amen. I guess she told it like it is. And that's so true. We can't go by our feelings because they change so often. You feel good one moment, and the next moment you don't feel so good. But you can trust the Lord. He never changes. And that's what we're going to stand and sing in closing, hymn number 419. And we encourage you to trust him. For whatever sin is in your life, that besetting sin that trips you up every single time, there is deliverance by trusting in Jesus. He died upon the cross. His precious blood is the is not just the covering of our sin, but it's the wiping away of our sins and making us a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new by trusting in Jesus. 419, and as Brenda said, the altar is open, and anyone who wants to come for prayer, saint or sinner, this is the place to come. It's not any magic in that wood. It's just been dedicated as a place of prayer. And we know that many times I have come down here and knelt at this place of prayer. And I know that God hears prayer wherever we are. But you can pray in your seat. But if you come here, some saint of God will pray with you and for you and help you to find the victory. 419.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him. Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow.
Rush now into
the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him.
Thankful that He's in the saving business.
Amen.
And God is no respecter of persons. And no matter what we have done, there's power for Jesus to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our Father, we come to You in the precious name of Jesus tonight. Lord, the word has gone forth. The message has been spoken. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will take that message to the hearts of each and every one of us. And we pray, Father, that we may examine our hearts and our lives through that word, and we may pray with the psalmist, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, then cleanse me. Search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me, Lord Jesus. And if there are those who have not received that cleansing, may they pray that prayer this night and receive the assurance, not the feeling, but the assurance that God keeps his word. And we pray, Father, that you would go before each one of us. We pray that your presence may follow each one of us and be with us. Keep us all safe until we gather again to worship you. We thank you for this food. We receive it as a token of your love to us. And we pray, Father, that it may nourish and strengthen our bodies, and we may use that strength to glorify you and to live for you all the days of our lives, because you are worthy. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Go in peace, and may the Lord's peace be with you.
Amen.